Brother E. David, I appreciate your words of welcome to my mother. Lynn and I are very happy to have her here as well. I will tell you this, that she has shared a lot of wisdom with me through the years. And I am thankful for every little morsel of it. And look forward to hearing some more from her, and just good to have her close by. And I appreciate so many of you speaking to her this morning and making her feel welcome, and not the least bit surprised by any of that. Talk about your perfect timing. Jacob, Meg, I promise I didn't know anything beforehand, but I was kind of pumped up when I heard that. I mean, for a lot of reasons, but I thought, well, wow, this really will be a very timely lesson today. And of course, Erica is also expecting here. We have some others on our list that of relatives of members here that are expecting as well. And so that list of pregnant women has kind of grown here over the last few months, and so I think it's timely to talk about this. Listen, it's an incredibly joyous time when a newborn baby is welcomed into the world. But it's not just a joyous time, it's a time for prayer. If there ever was a time to pray, it's when you welcome a child into the world. What a tremendous responsibility that has. And so this morning we're going to talk about 11 different prayers that we can offer for a newborn child. And each one of these is going to be introduced by one or more passages of Scripture. And obviously these prayers will all be based on what is found in those Scriptures. I want to make it clear here at the beginning, no one is suggesting that the way these prayers are worded as we go through them is exactly the way you have to do it. But I believe these are all things that certainly we could pray to God about concerning that newborn. And so let's look at our first set of Scriptures here. Jacob, when he was met by Esau, and Esau asked him, okay, well, he saw all those children out there. He said, who are these people? And Jacob said concerning them, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. I love the way he put that. Hannah, speaking of her son Samuel, says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. And so based on these two passages of Scripture, let's put together a prayer that we could offer to God. God of all grace, for this child whom you have graciously given us, we give you thanks. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers for a child. That probably needs to be maybe the first one that's offered, right, at that time. Let's look at some other passages. John 16, verse 21, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. We know what that joy is all about, right? But then this next passage kind of speaks of a different kind of joy, right? 3 John, there in that only chapter in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so what would be something good to pray to God about based on these two passages of Scripture? Well, how about this? Our loving God, we thank you for the great joy this child has already given us, and may our joy become even greater in the future when we see our child walking in the truth. You see, that's what we need to be looking ahead to from the very day that they are born, right? To see them one day walking in the truth. Yeah, that will bring you even more joy. That'll be a more lasting joy, right, than that joy you experience when they are welcomed into the world. A couple of other scriptures to consider. Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, Jesus speaking says, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And then a similar passage, Matthew 19 and verse 14. "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So I believe there's a good prayer that we can offer based on what we read here in these passages. Holy Father, help us as parents to develop the same purity and innocence, the same humble dependence our child possesses. Because what we see in our child is what you want to see in us. And so I would hope that when that child is born into the world and you see that dependence they have, that complete trust in you, that purity and innocence there at the beginning, I hope that some of you new parents will recall what Jesus taught in those passages that we just read. I hope they will be even more meaningful to you when you welcome that child into the world. Here's another scripture for us to consider, just one this time, from Luke chapter 1 and verse 6. They, speaking of Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the baptizer's parents, says they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. You think that might have been helpful to John the baptizer? I tell you what, he's one of my favorite Bible characters. I just admire him so much. We have every reason to admire him so much. He's always, to me, been a great example, a great blend of humility and boldness. Humility and boldness. Some would think those are kind of contrary to one another, but they're really not. Just the perfect blend, almost the perfect blend. Jesus would be the only one perfect. But what can we pray? You think of something we can offer to God based on this particular passage. O righteous Heavenly Father, help us to set the right example for our child. Help us strive to walk blamelessly in all your commandments and requirements. And so we want to be like Zacharias and Elizabeth, right? We want our children to see that consistent, faithful, zealous service to the Lord. And again, these are the things we don't think about now when they get to about 10 or 11 or 12. We go ahead and we think about all this, yes, even before they're born, but especially when we bring them into the world, when God brings them into this world, these are the kind of things that our hearts need to be set on. Some other scriptures to consider. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Now, as it pertains to our subject today, what that's saying is, you don't have a clue, apart from God, what you need to be doing for this child spiritually. You don't have a clue. And I don't either. Apart from this, I don't even know what to tell you to do. If you were to ask me, apart from what God says, I wouldn't have a clue either. And that really leads us into the next passage. Manoah, the father of Samson, concerning the soon-to-be-born Samson, said, "O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent to us come again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Please, could you give us some instruction on what needs to be done here?" And so, again, passages like this should maybe give us some good things for which to pray to God about, right? Our great and awesome God, who possesses infinite wisdom, it is not in us to know what's best for our child. So please show us in your word what we need to do to raise this child. Please help us to see all the commandments, all the examples, all the principles, everything that would pertain to this subject in any way, anything that could help us do the very best job we can with it. Please, Lord, show us these things in your word. That's the earnestness, the seriousness with which we should take that. And look, if this is something that means a whole lot to us, then what are we going to do? We're going to pray to God about it. Sometimes people ask the question, you know, I need to learn how to pray. Could somebody kind of help me out and learn how to pray? What are we getting from this lesson so far? How do we learn to pray? By reading the Scriptures. We get acquainted with Scripture. We learn Scriptures thoroughly. We got enough right to pray without ceasing, as 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says. Another set of Scriptures for us to consider concerning the aforementioned Samuel. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 26, this statement is made concerning him. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. Does that sound familiar? You think of a similar statement made about someone else. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. There's got to be something in there, right, for which we can pray to God. So how about this? God of heaven and earth, we pray the very same for our child. That our child will increase in stature and in wisdom. And in favor, first and foremost, with God, but also with men. We read that passage about Samuel and say, what a great thing that was going on there. And then we see it especially said concerning Jesus. And so wouldn't we want the same to be said of us? And wouldn't we want the same thing to be true of our child, of our children? And again, when something means a whole lot to us, when it's a goal, when it's an aim, and it's something we want to accomplish with God's help, then we pray to God about it. That doesn't mean that we don't get busy and do the things He expects us to do, but we're also asking for His help as we strive to do those things. Some other Scriptures for us to consider. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11. We keep coming back to this Samuel fellow, right? Hannah, concerning Samuel, said, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Kind of need to make sure that is kind of etched in our brains, right? I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. But then 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God. Does that kind of help us see? Give him to the Lord. We want them to become children of God, right? Now, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we do know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And so again, let's put together what we can glean from both of those passages and see what kind of prayer we can come up with. Help us, Father, to give this child back to You. We've already talked about this child that God has graciously given us, right? So help us, Father, to give this child back to You by teaching our child to become Your child and by instilling in this child the hope of eternity, the hope of one day being in your very presence to see you as you are. You see the different elements in that? We're giving them back to the Lord, teaching them to become a child of God, but we will ultimately really give them to the Lord, right? When they're right there in His presence. See Him as He is. And again, I know I keep saying this over and over again, but if these are the things that mean the most to us, then we will pray about them. Remember Paul said there in Romans 9, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they be saved. What do you get from that? That his whatever was in his heart, what his heart's desire was, what did he do about it? He prayed about it. He prayed about it. We should be praying these very same things. Some other scriptures to consider, these concerning the discipline of children. Fathers, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Paul, writing to Timothy there in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, made this comment. From childhood, you, that is Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures. He was being brought up, right? In the training and admonition of the Lord by being taught the Scriptures. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so again, just thinking about the details of each one of those passages, let's put together a prayer. Help us, Eternal Father, to train this child in your ways, to diligently teach our child the Scriptures from the very beginning, and by so doing, to mold our child into the image of your Son. That's what God wants for your child, for him to be transformed, conformed to the image of his Son. That's what we're working toward. That's what we're praying about and praying often about. But then, kind of continuing on this same line of training, discipline, Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I think we all understand what that's saying, right? Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. But then we have something that kind of would provide a little bit of balance to this, right? Colossians 3 and verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And so again, let's put together what we can learn here and see what we can pray to God about. Help us, Almighty God, to be firm in our discipline, prompt in our discipline, so that our child learns respect for authority, learns obedience, learns self-control. But please keep us from being too impatient, too harsh, lest we discourage our child. Help us, please, to develop the proper balance. And that's not easy, as many of you parents can attest to, right? It's not easy. The discipline's important. The severity of it, yes, sometimes has to be there, right? The promptness of it, all that's critical. But there is that balance. You have that warning. We don't want to discourage our child. We're praying to God to help us to maintain that right balance. Some other scriptures, these especially pertaining to the company we keep. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Those of us who are parents, we already know how that peer pressure can work, right? We already know from God's Word and from experience how the people we hang around with can sometimes have an adverse effect upon us. So we need to be thinking about those things in regard to our children, right? So here's the prayer. Father, we understand that friendships have the potential to make us or break us. So please help our child to choose wisely. We need to be praying that they choose wisely, but we need to be praying that they have the good people to be around, people that will be a positive influence on them, that they'll have the strength to reject the negative influences. Again, God gives all kinds of warnings about this throughout Scripture. It's important. And what's important, we need to be praying about. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Always, you know, think this is kind of a significant description, right? You can kind of read over this quickly and maybe not think too much about it. But this epistle is addressed to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. That's the aim, right? Not just to simply be a Christian, but to be a faithful Christian. Well, this next passage talks about two faithful Christians who happen to be married to each other. Acts 18 and verse 26. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, talking about Apollos, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, if you're familiar with this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, there are some other references to the great good that they did in the kingdom of God together as husband and wife, as two faithful Christians. And so here's the prayer that we would offer based on this. It may be many years off, but faithful God, please help our child to find a faithful Christian to marry. We need to be praying about that from the very beginning, and we need to be talking to them about it from the very beginning. Help our child to find a faithful Christian to marry. Someone equipped to help our child reach their full potential in the kingdom of God. We don't want our children to be average. Not when it's when we're talking about spiritual things. We want them to excel. We want them to excel spiritually. We want them to reach their full potential. We want them to do the kind of good together with their husband or wife that Aquila and Priscilla did. And so this is a prayer that we need to be offering. Well, let's bring this to a close, and let me just add a few concluding thoughts here. You probably already know this, but this is not just about what we pray. It is about that, but it's not just about what we pray. It's about the priorities we set for raising our children, the goals we have for them. Nothing, you name me something in this life that means so much to you that you enjoy doing, that you get a lot of pleasure from or whatever, I don't care what it is, nothing matters more than the things that we've talked about in this lesson. And the reason these things matter more than anything else is they matter more to God than anything else. Let's make them the center of our attention and make sure we pray to God about all of these things. Go ahead and get out your songbook. We'll sing that song of invitation here in just a moment. We read that passage earlier from 1 John 3, you know, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. So, the main takeaway from that is it really is something to be a child of God, right? And of course, right in that same context, he talks about that hope we have of one day being with Him to see Him as He is. You don't have that hope outside of Christ. And so if there be someone here today that wants to become a Christian, we're prepared to help you with that or come back to the Lord. If we can help you with a spiritual need, let us know right now as we stand and sing.